Good afternoon, listeners. It's Noel and Andrew here again for another episode of the Farmers Podcast. Coming to you today from, coming to you today thanks to Heatley Barbecues, our major sponsor. Something new today. We've got our guest in the studio, and Andrew's dialing in from the farm. How you going today, Andrew? All right.
G'day, Noel. How are you?
Very well. Can hear.
G'day, Rodney.
G'day, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. Not very wet here.
No, not very wet here either. A lot of dust clouds where people were sowing, but difficult conditions. But what we do is keep rolling. So, and hoping that we can see a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. So.
Fingers crossed for something early next week.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, a little bit, they said.
Now, our Rodney that we're talking to doesn't really need an introduction. He certainly deserves one, though. So Rodney is Rodney Maynard, Rocket Maynard, farmer down at Lamoureux. But unless you've been living under a rock for the last 20 years, you probably know him more through his footballing abilities, particularly with the mighty Adelaide Camry Crows, as they were known back then. Yeah. I'm just going to make yourself comfortable there, Rocket. I'm just going to run through a few of your achievements.
All right. Sit back.
Yeah, just sit back and relax for a minute and bask in the glory that is yourself, mate. 157 games for Norwood plus 159 goals. Feel free to correct me if I get any of this wrong. He then went on to play for the Adelaide Crows, played 81 games for them. In his local footy, he's won 7 premierships with Lamoureux. Were they all senior premierships?
Or? Yeah, 1B grade.
1B grade?
1B grade and 6 A grade.
Can't have a successful A grade without a successful B grade.
No, that's right. I finished A grade in 2008 and won the grand final, and then we played in the B grade one in 2009 and we won that one. So, but the A grade one as well, so I could have nearly got another A grade one, but I decided to play B grade. So
I'm glad I wasn't playing B grade against you, mate.
Right. B grade's a lot harder, isn't it, Rodney?
It was. You have to go and get the pill there, don't you?
And you do. Yeah, you do.
If I was B grade, we definitely had to go and get the ball because it never came near you.
No, that's right. No, I just stuck up at full forward in those days. I was about 43, I think I was. So, and I sat up at full forward and had a good season. But I enjoyed it still, though. So playing with some kids and young blokes and trying to teach them as well. I quite enjoyed it. I didn't think I would, but I did. So.
And you also get to have a beer after B grade and sit down and watch a game of footy and have a beer at the same time as well.
So that's exactly that's right. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, very much so. You represented South Australia 3 times. Was that country or?
No, that was the state of origin. I was lucky enough to play with Coonahan and Carey and Hall and Platten and McGuinness and McDermott in that 1993. We beat them, I think, and we had a very good day. That was the first year I played, and then I played in a couple of SNFL ones as well. We went down to Hobart 1 year and that as well. So I played in 3 all up. Yeah, so okay. 92, 93 and 94, I think. So, yeah.
93, you stuck it right up them.
Yeah.
EJ.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. 206 games for Lamoureux. This one just blows my mind, as does the next one. 10 times BNF. For Lamoureux, that's no small effort there. Get ready for this one. 6-time male medal winner in the Mallee League. And just to show that, something must be in the genes, his brother Brenton also won 4 male medals.
That's correct. Yeah. No one could get it with the Maynards hogging it. We hogged it for a while there because he came home just before I did and won 4. And then there was a couple in between. But then I came home and won the next 6 out of 8 or whatever it was. So we really, we hogged the show a bit. So
you looked for each other on the field a little bit, did you?
We did. Yeah. We were looking forward to playing with each other again. So it had been a few years. So And not just him, I had a lot of other mates that lived in Lamoureux too, so thoroughly enjoyed playing with them as well.
You've been here your whole life, haven't you?
I have been, I only went to Adelaide to live. Well, I played with Norwood for seven years and then Crows for 5 and travelled for all those 7 years to Norwood twice a week, train and play, and then the Crows said I couldn't do it that way. I had to live in Adelaide if I was going to have a proper go, so I did.
And the trip from here to Adelaide is
200 so 2-hour drive. Leave here about 3:30 on a on a Tuesday afternoon or Thursday, depends how busy we were, and then I'd come back and get home about 10:30, 11 that night, and then I'd go again either Saturday morning or Friday night and stay with Brett, and he was living in Adelaide for a little while there too, so, and then play and come home again.
So who was running the farm?
My dad. He was. We weren't as big as we were in those days as we are now, so there was, we didn't sow quite as much, and so, and I was only away for a couple of hours and that, so, or 2 or 3 hours, so, yeah.
Really just at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mum used to travel with me a bit because I was so tired. We were on tractors all the time, and that used to get tedious, so Mum used to come with me in the car a few times and keep me awake.
Yep. Well, that's why Andrew's not here today, isn't it, Andrew? Because your mum said it was too far for you to travel on your own.
No, I've been on the SC today. I think my daughter's out there now at the moment, Rodney.
So. Oh, is she? Yep. You're carrying on.
You've got three daughters. I've got four.
Yep. It sounds like, well, I couldn't talk mine into doing any farming. You've done pretty well.
Yeah.
I've tried, but they just won't. I've got a couple in Adelaide. One's a teacher, one's a nurse, and one works at Ronco Motors at the machinery place at Pinaroo. So.
And she's been given the job this afternoon.
Air cart's broken. The dual wheels at the front, the jockey wheels have, the bearings have gone in them. So we've got a bit of a job ahead of us.
You do. You know, there's a couple more achievements here we'll just quickly skim through, but maybe not so quickly. 2015 SA NFL and Norwood Redlegs Hall of Fame. They don't give those positions away easily. And I'd imagine that you're in some fairly esteemed company in those
groups. That was a bit of a surprise, really. I didn't think I'd done quite enough, you know, to get those awards. But I suppose, you know, people say, well, it's not just the, you know, SNFL or the Crows, it's the Lamoureux commitments and all that too. SNFL, well, you know, the South Australian Football League. That was great. And, you know, you when you finish your football career, you don't think you're ever going to get any more awards, but they kept coming there for a little while. And I was pretty chuffed, really. It meant a lot to me. So,
do you have catch ups with
all the other do a bit. Yeah, I go down.
Like
I haven't
got formalised evenings and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
They do. They have a year every year where they introduce all the new ones on the Hall of Fame, we go down. We've been down three times in the last since then, or twice, I think, in the last couple of the last 4 years. So, I can't get there every year, and then we have a Crows get together every now and then too. It's the 30 year anniversary this year of the Crows, so, because 91 and it's 2021. Oh, okay. So they haven't really said anything about having a 30 year reunion, but I thought they may have. So
surely they will.
Yeah. I catch up with a few. Rowie's one I catch up with, and a few Wayne Wiedemann I got on really well with, and so.
Reed.
He was a great bloke. His wife was terrific too. Actually, I rang him the other week. I took a picture of the Fish Creek sign because actually Cheryl and I travelled through there in February, and we went through Fish Creek because that's where he originated from, Fish Creek boy. And I took a picture out the front of the sign of Fish Creek out the front of the town and sent it to Weed, and I said, I've actually seen the town. I nearly blinked and missed it, I told him.
I might as well go to this now. The Weed's been brought up. Do you think you've ever been mistaken for the Weed?
Do you reckon? My mullet was pretty good in the early 90s.
Do you reckon it's as good as Tex Walker's mullet?
Oh, no. A few of the players have. It's a different breed now, isn't it? The mullet seems to be back in. It's coming.
It has a big, strong comeback.
So, yeah, no, mine was all right in the 90s, but it seemed to. It's lost its colour now, though.
Because I was talking to a mate about how I'd teed up to have a chat with you.
Yeah.
And he's a Crows tragic.
Yeah.
Knows everything there is to know about the Crows.
Is he?
But he's a little bit younger than what I am,
right.
Which I didn't think about when I was asking him the questions. But I said to him, do you know Rocket? Do you remember Rocket? And he said, yeah, I think I remember Rocket. He had the mullet. I said, yeah, he had a mullet. And he used to run all day. Yeah, that's the guy. About 20 minutes later, I got a message from Josh saying, oh, I was thinking about the Weed. So there you go. You've been mistaken for the Weed.
So. No one. Well, he played a lot tougher than I did anyway.
I was
a running player, but not a tough over the... Well, he was just tough player.
Like, he was.
Very...
Was.
very hard at the footy and straight line player.
Pretty reasonable sort of tank, though.
Yeah, he was all right. And I remember him playing Macca when we played the Eagles, you know, and Norwood used to play the Eagles. It used to be an old weed, and Macca used to have a fair crack at each other a few times.
You'd pay good money.
And I mean,
money
he had the hairstyle like Macca, you know, like there was a Macca mullet and there was the weed mullet, like, and the goatee beard as well. It was all, and they were both tough as nails, too, they were. So,
can we discuss who you'd back in the ring?
Oh, I don't know. No, that'd be tough. They'd both, and they'd never die. I mean, they'd keep
be
getting
like
up.
Two old boars.
They would
two
be.
Old
and
bald pigs who just would not stop
give
until
an
one
inch.
Of them
I mean, I played a lot of footy with Gary McIntosh, and he was fantastic. He was a great player. Like, yeah. I wish he went to the VFL, SNFL, I mean, the AFL and had a go, because he would have made it.
Oh, absolutely. No,
his leadership qualities are exemplary.
Yeah,
him and Chris McDermott on a par for me. He was a great captain to L Bones. He was tough and hard, and a great leader of men, I call it, like, to gather a group of men and get them there the first year like we did. He was terrific. And Macca at Norwood, well, you could hear Macca all over the ground, you know. He'd be yelling at you, "Rocket, it's yours. You gotta go," you know, and you were too scared not to.
Oh, if you've got a voice like that telling you what to do, I will never
you know, forget those days with those guys, like playing footy with them.
Yeah, and we certainly enjoyed watching them, that's for sure. I mean, blokes who just didn't take a backward step.
Nah, never, not at all.
Value for money right there.
Yeah.
Couple more achievements. I didn't already say this, did I? You're a member of the Crows team of the inaugural decade.
Yep. You saw that picture on your way in.
Oh, is that what that
that's
was?
That big one.
I was having a look, and I thought, no, I can't be rude. Look at what this man's got hanging on his walls. I just keep walking.
That meant a fair bit to me. There was, I mean, 10 years you're talking. I was only there for 5, and, you know, it was, yeah, I didn't think I'd quite get in there. I thought there'd be plenty in front of me, but I was, yeah, fortunate enough to get in that one too, so.
Yep. First play to 50 games.
Yep. Yeah, I was. Crows. Yep. And then it all turned to shit after that.
Why? What
broke
do you
a
mean?
Collarbone. Oh. Broke a collarbone, broken arm, all in Sydney, both Sydney, 2 years in a row. Like, broke my collarbone the first year in 93, and then I went up there in 94 and went to smother a footy and broke my arm and had a plate, still got the plate inserted and 7 screws or whatever.
Nice little keepsake from
it was. Yeah. So, but they were the, yeah. And then I, yeah, had a few injuries, groin injury. I'd started to, yeah, must have been age telling me, slow down a bit or go home, maybe. That was what it was telling me.
Go back to the farm and hard enough again. You've got
go and play for the Lemuru. Go and play for the Lemuru Hawks.
Yeah, exactly. With a big target on your back, I'd imagine.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, a few times.
Is this one true? I'll rephrase it another way. As a coach, have you ever suspended somebody from training because they got too fit?
Too fit? No, never.
Did that happen to you?
No. No. Well,
I read an article about
your
BMI.
Tell me, they did tell me I was overdoing it. Like, I was just got myself that fit, and I was running all the time, and I probably lost a little bit too much, a few kilos that I shouldn't have, that I needed really to play against the guys like Stuart Lowe and, you know, those bigger guys, Coonahan and Spalding and
standing plug
a locket. Yes, I did. Yeah, I stood him once. So he kicked 10 on me, and he tackled me once, and I feel like it was a big brown bear tackle me. I mean, I reckon he nearly broke every rib I had. I reckon that's what it felt like. He was a monster of a man. But I did. I got a bit fit, but you just get in a routine where you just keep running. You know, I covered the ground and I could, you know, run all day, but I lost a few kilos and I got pushed around a bit. By the bigger bloke. So
how fit were you? How many minute Ks?
Oh, I don't know. I was up there with I was up there in the top 3 or 4 in the end at the Crows, and that was speaking of Matthew Liptak, who's a real fit, and Stephen Swirt, who's a real fitty as well. And I was up there with those blokes in the end. I wasn't far behind. So, and before that, 5 years when I was at Norwood, it took me a long time to learn to get fit. You know, I was lazy and big, and, you know, those 84, 85, 86 years at Norwood, I probably wasted 3 years because I was a bit younger and checking out life, I think, too much, like enjoying life a bit and a bit lazy on the training track. But I changed my ways a bit, and it certainly made me a better footballer. So
how did you find out that you've been selected to play for the Crows?
Oh, that was in 9. Well, I had 3 really good years, 87, 88, 89 and 90 were my stepping stone into footy. Really, I had some really good years in those years. So I won the Norwood Best and Fairest in 89. And I was always a forward as a young fella, and I never played back. I always played forward, and I was struggling a bit, and I needed something different. And so I said to Barmy, you know, at the time, he said, what can we do? And I said, well, why don't it just stick me back for a while? And I started at fullback with you, but Tom Warhurst did his hamstring. I went to fullback, and Brett was playing at centre half back, and I went to fullback, and started there and stood some really good players, you know, Grenville Dietrich, which is one. And Rudy Mandemaker and Scotty Hodges. But then Breton did broke his collarbone, and I moved to centre half back, and Tom Wilson, and I really found my game there, where I could run off and still, be in the mix of, trying to kick goals as well, and really found that my way. But I learned a lot. But then they shifted me back up forward, the playing in defence made me a lot better footballer. I went to centre-half forward then and had the best year I'd ever had, like kicked 50-odd goals at league level and polled really well and won the best and fairest at Norwood and made my centre-half forward mine at Norwood Footy Club for 2 or 3 years there. So, Sorry, Andrew?
Was Neil Barm pretty happy about the fact you were joining the Crows, or not very happy at all?
There wasn't just me. There was a few of us, I don't think he was that disappointed. I mean, Macca was really, he hated it because he was Norwood through and through, and he hated people jumping the fence and going into, to the Crows and all that. He just didn't think that. Yeah, he said, he thought you were Norwood through and through. But, Barmy wasn't worried. It was more when I came back to play even for Norwood when I came back, and Craig, he was at Norwood. He was hard work. Neil Craig. He just didn't want to play. But then 2 years later, he jumped ship and went to the Crows. So he hated it. He wouldn't give us a game. I played there in 95. It was just starting when Robert Shaw rolled up. I was struggling to get in the team. I did my groin, and I was coming back through Norwood and all that. And Craig, he would only give me a half every week. And I was going to be dropped to the twos 1 week. He said, I'm going to drop you to play in reserves. And I said, well, just give me. He said, oh, you haven't enough footy. I said, well, start me. He'd always leave me on the bench for the first half. I don't know whether there was reason in this or not, but he just leave me on the bench for the first half, and then I'd go on after half time. But I was getting my 20 possessions every week and kicking 2 or 3 goals. I was still going all right. I thought I was still playing pretty well. But I said, I'll be right to start next week. He said, oh, no, we'll just bludge you into the game again. And he did this week for 10 weeks in a row, I think. And it was frustrating. It was. And I mean, Robert Shaw was at the Crows then, and that wasn't, probably the best 2 years. He kind of elated us older guys, I call it. Rowie, me, Weed, Scotty Lee, Tony Hall. We kind of all parted ways then. We just couldn't find a spot. Well, I don't know. He was a different character. Hard work.
Yep. And I don't think the public ever really warmed to him either.
I don't think so. He was that type of person. You didn't know when you could talk to him, when you couldn't. He was hard to approach and all that. And it was all – his game plan didn't really signify my game, I don't reckon anyway. And it didn't, a lot of players, not just me. So it was hard work. I just think they thought they needed a Victorian coach. That's all it was. They think they needed, but Graham would have got us there in the end anyway. He was a good coach and a terrific person too. I love being playing under him as well.
Fantastic.
And if they kept him there, we would have got there in the end. Well, 93, we probably should have won it, realistically.
I haven't forgotten that.
Oh, you haven't. I can't even watch it on TV. Sometimes it comes on TV and they show the game. I cannot sit there and watch it. A lot of us can't. I talked to Andrew Jarman and a few blokes like that and a few others that played, and no one can watch it. It's just demoralising how well you can play and have a complete turnaround after half time and be so terrible. I mean, I know Essendon lifted, but to be and we would have beaten Carlton in that grand final too. There was no doubt about that.
It was a very good side, but that was a terrible match.
It was, and we should have beaten Carlton the week before. We played him in the second semi out at Waverley and kicked, what did we kick? 8 goals, 21 or something. Mods kicked 8 points or something like that. And we should have beaten them that day anyway, And then we played Essendon the week after and was 42 points up and playing probably the best football we'd played since I'd been at the Crows. That first half was just enormous. We were just, nothing would go wrong. Everything fell into place. And then all of a sudden the wheels completely fell off.
It's just one of football's
absolutely
biggest mysteries, isn't it? What happens to a side to transform? So
absolutely
to either go either way. Shit-outs in the first half and then just come out of the box box roaring after half time.
Yeah, that's right.
You just can't put your finger on it. It's
not Michael Along had a fair bit to do with it. I mean, but he's not. He was only one of 18 on the field,
exactly,
but
right.
he was instrumental in getting him going forward. I could tell you he played an outstanding second half. But,
yep.
But still, I thought we were
still 18. Yeah, that's right. Crows out on the field. Totally, their mental state just something.
Don't know. We just stopped completely. I really think, and Graham blames himself too. We've talked about it. I've talked to Graham about it as well, and he honestly thought we were. And I did too. I walked in going, grand final next week, started planning for next week, and he did too. That was his big mistake, he said too. He should have got in there and said, right, and really got down and dirty and come on.
Yep.
But he said, oh, he can want to relax too, I think. He thought, we're in.
Which would have been
not.
No, it would have been a great feeling at half time, but probably one of the most, obviously one of the most gut-wrenching.
Absolutely. I said, I can't sit there and watch it. Normally I don't mind watching old Crows games and all that, but I can't watch that one. Do I walk away? Cheryl goes, come on, you sit. I'd no, I'm not watching it.
If you want to torture a Rocket Maynard, anybody, tie him to a chair and make him watch the 93 pregame.
Yeah, nah. Watch the first half, but not watching the second half. I don't watch any of it anyway. It doesn't entertain me.
While you're talking about that, Rocket, the first match you played, the trial match.
Yeah, against Essendon as well, yeah.
Yeah, did you really play that the day before you got married?
Yeah, I did. On the Friday night we played, and my wife said, if you get injured, and then I nearly got cleaned up with about 20, it must have been a couple of minutes to go. This bloke came through with his elbow, and you can see it on the highlights. He must have only just missed me. It could have could have been making me a very ugly person for a wedding day. I wasn't going to not play because it was just, the build up and everything in Adelaide was to the extent of there was going to be everyone there. And I mean, they were hanging off the rafters. They would have, footy park can probably hold 50. It felt like there was 60, 70. The roar when we ran out onto the ground. I mean, my hair's on the back of my neck. I've never, ever, just the first time that we've worn that in a game of footy. It was, we were, like I said, we played above ourselves. And we did the next week too. We played Hawthorn, I think 2 weeks later in the first round, and absolutely belted them.
Smashed them.
You were the back line against Hawthorn and you got 3 goals.
Yeah, it did. Well, that's how good it was running, I tell you, Andrew. I mean, everything was running in our favour, and I mean, we were just, the bounce of the ball, and wherever you ran, the ball would fall in your arms. Yeah. It was just one of those nights.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, and everyone kicked goals, and I mean, we beat them by, 10 or 12 goals. We kicked 20 odd, But we came back to reality the week after. I think we went over to Moorabbin and played St Kilda and got beaten by 20 goals. I think it was a quick turnaround. I think travelling to Melbourne, that was another story to tell you. Learning how to travel and all that was hard work.
Was it really that hard work?
They made it up to be hard. I mean, we tried travelling on the same day and then that didn't work because some days we got delayed and then you wouldn't get to the grounds early enough. So we went the night before, but I don't know, there was something about it. And just, you never play your best footy, but that was probably going over to Melbourne and playing against some good footy clubs as well. And just different atmosphere and different grounds, and I think it took a bit of while to get used to it, I think. I love travelling because I was just the old farmer boy who never travelled before in his life and travelled every second week on a plane. Sydney, Melbourne, Western Australia, up to Queensland, Brisbane. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Not a bad career.
Not bad at all. Then to London 1 year too. And
what an exhibition game.
Exhibition game against West Coast. We went to London for 2 weeks. I got to travel a bit. It was good. Very enjoyable.
Fantastic way to diversify from farming.
It was.
A lot of people would set up a piggery or maybe get some chooks.
Yeah.
We'll go and play AFL footy and float around the countryside. We should get into a few farmer-based questions, I guess, Andrew. What do you think?
I know we're not
talking farm. Yeah, I was talking about that. So Rodney, you're a farm's based at Lamoroo.
Yes.
And is it cropping? You got some sheep too?
No, we did have sheep. We used to run 1,000 breeding ewes until the last 2 or 3 years, and we've gone right out of our sheep, Andrew. We've just gone solely cropping now. So we've got rid of the last lot last year, the last 300, and now we're solely cropping. We had about 7,500 acres, but we've lost about 1,300 to a lease. But it's because we're probably thinking about retiring too, Andrew. Our days yep. are nearly numbered as far as farming. My brother and that wants to try something different in life, and eventually he's got grandchildren at Terrigal on the east coast of Australia, and he wants to see more of them. And so we might, yeah, it's only a year-to-year proposition for us at the moment. But, yeah, we're mainly cropping all wheat and, you know, your legumes. We do a bit of hay as well, vetch hay, but it's mainly wheat and barley, so... few lupins and a bit of vetch and yeah yep. but no more sheep, so I'm glad we're not having got them this year, Andy, because they would have cost me a fortune to feed.
Oh yeah, it's been dry. So what generation of farming farmer at Lammaroo would you be, third or fourth?
No, third. Dad, there was my father's father, grandpa, my grandpa, and then there was dad, and now Brenton and I have taken over. Brenton lives in the homestead at the about 10 kilometres west of Lammaroo, and I live in, Cheryl and I bought a house in Lammaroo, so yeah. So now we're third generation.
Born locally?
Born locally, yes. Yep. My grandpa used to live, had land north of Lammaroo here, but we're glad he came out because it was pretty diverse out there. You know, it's a bit sandy and a few lot of, hard work out there, I think. So I'm glad he bought a property in on the main highway here, the Mallee Highway, because there's a lot better dirt here and that. It might have been hard work out there, I reckon. Yeah. So, but he made a good choice and came in and, brought his family in with dad and that. So.
Yep. And where were you born?
At Lammaroo.
In the hospital?
Yep.
Probably not happening these days.
No. Well, my three girls were born in Adelaide at Burnside. So, Murray Bridge or Loxton now it is. That's where most people go to have babies and that. So, So it's about an hour each way, like either or. So.
Loxton on the road that I came in on?
You can go to Loxton straight up here through Alawuna and that, so it's main highway.
The road that I drove on to come here today, I wouldn't want to be a pregnant woman.
No, not at all. You would have had it on the way here.
Yeah. It would have rattled out.
The roads aren't great, and they're getting a lot more transport. As you know, no railway through here anymore. Road trains, everything on our roads now, so the trucks are knocking them about a bit, I reckon.
They definitely are. What was your earliest recollection as a kid? What's seeing the clock right back? What's the earliest thing you can remember?
I don't know. As a young fella, what, helping on the farm? I used to love dad. Dad used to have the old, what is it, the old 20 row combine, and Brent and I used to jump on the back and roll around on that and jump off and chase it and do all those sorts. And then we'd take the old truck home, and Brent and I'd fill it up for dad, like with bags, super bags and the grain bags that you'd get done and all that into a barn, and then you'd wheel them onto the truck, Brent and I, and have a few, you know what super's like, they get a few grains on the ground, and the old hands, I'd skin a few knuckles in those days with the old, not the old wheelbarrow, the old set truck, and carrying the bags and do the old fingers in a few times. And sitting on dad's lap, you know, driving the heather, and I mean, being interested in farm, that's all I wanted to do. There wasn't anything else. I mean, play sport and all that, but dad always took as a sport. Dad was a great believer in, I mean, he never got to play sport. His dad didn't let him play because he was working on the farm, and it was more, they had to work every Saturday and all that. Okay. So I think dad was completely, he just said, I'm not going to stop you boys from playing sport. And he was always out there kicking the footy with us, and drop kicks, stab passes, hitting us on the chest. And he would have been all right, I reckon.
On behalf of South Australia, thank you to Rocket's dad for encouraging him to play footy.
He was great. And whenever, even though he was tired and come off the tractor and or sheep work, and we'd pester him for a kick, it always come out. I can't say he was just fantastic in that way. I could not speak highly of him. He'd always give us a kick, and it always takes us to footy. He'd always have time off to come and watch us play and that as well. So, because he never had that opportunity. I just think he was going to put everything into it, and give us an opportunity to play. So, So he was great that way.
Where did you go to school? Lammaroo?
I went to Lammaroo area school, was in my day. And then when I got to, I finished year 10 at Lammaroo, and then went to Prince Alfred College, Andrew, in Adelaide.
Yep.
And found my way there. Well, not academically, because I was terrible at school, but I could play footy. And their first 18 side was always, they always liked to stand, you know, that was their stand tool, the old First 18 football side. So I think that blooded me pretty well when I went there to school and play, because I went from here, you know, being a young fella, and went down there, and I mean, you had to fight for your position a lot more, and and you wanted to prove yourself to them and that as well. So I really enjoyed school footy down there, because I played against, I mean, I could go through Sacred Heart. I played against Nick Chidwick and Craig Woodland, Damien Kosicki was all Sturt and Glenelg, and you know, and then Wayne Marnie was at St Michael's, Greg Anderson was at St Michael's. So I played a lot against a lot of blokes that played league footy went on and played a lot of league footy, and it was good school footy. It was great. And then we play, you know, you'd combine your schools, like all your colleges, to play one game, you know, against the state schools, and, you know, the independent schools would play the state schools, and we'd play, to play with those guys. It was a pretty high standard football game. And it was great then going on to play at Norwood then in 17s, because I was just down the road. So I'd train, you know, I'd be at school at PAC, and I could walk to training at Norwood Oval from there. So it was easy that year. I played a bit of under 17s the last year that I was involved there. So
what do you think of all the rule changes and how footy looks today?
I wasn't happy, but then I say again, I mean, I thought this stand and the mark one wasn't going to work either, but that's made a lot of difference.
I think that's actually really improved the game.
It's surprised me.
It's brought it back to a running game of football. You would be doing very nicely with that new rule.
Absolutely. And I mean, most of the rule changes have been, I don't know. I mean, the game was buggered a few years ago because it was
mini culture.
Absolutely. I I'd sit here on a Friday night and watch that, and some of the games in the last few years were 3-1 at half time. I mean, I'd go to bed because I was sick of it.
Boring.
And I don't normally do that because footy's my love. Like, I don't walk away from watching footy or anything like that, but I couldn't stand it anymore. You know, no scoring, you know, and congested, no free, you know, use of the footy, no running. Then they put a game on, you know, a 1993 game or something like that, and it's great to watch.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's all, you know, open football, movement's really good. The umpires aren't throwing it up all the time or getting involved as much. It's all so much better to watch, it was. But now this year with that stand the mark rule, that's a good one. Well, I was worried. I thought it was going to be, how's that going to help? But it has really helped. So I'll give them a vote this time.
Tick
that
the box.
It has.
Very nicely.
Yeah.
Well, I personally wish they'd change some of the netball rules. Rodney.
Change the netball rules as well.
Yeah, my goodness. Like the replay rule or three shots at the goal rule.
Yeah. No, I get frustrated. I mean, my daughter plays at Woods Panthers, which is South Adelaide Panthers now, in the Premier League and the A Reserves in Adelaide at Etzer Park.
Yeah.
She plays every Friday night there. And, some of the rules, and you know, different umpiring they have there. I get frustrated watching and that. And, yeah. But
new rule about a two-pointer or something in netball?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's not in that rule. It's not in that. So they can sub now and all that, like automatic subs they do in Adelaide now. Yeah. They can come off and on as well whenever they like now.
Okay.
So it's just like you interchange footy. They do that in reserves and league in Adelaide now. We went down last Friday and watched it. I'm going again this Friday to watch her again. So she's playing in the Premier League this week, so I'm looking forward to seeing her play up there. So, But she goes all right, so.
What about your other daughters and Cheryl, your wife? Are they sports?
Cheryl was always a good netballer and good tennis player and all that. And the other two girls, they play netball. The one at Roncos plays for Pinneroo. She plays in the A1s there. And Abby plays back here. She travels home when she gets a weekend off at nursing and all that.
Yep.
She comes home and plays here in the A1s as well.
Yep.
So, they go all right, but they haven't got what I call it, the commitment and determination my oldest daughter's got. She's got the drive and she won't stop. She'll keep going. And my girls, the other two are a bit more, circumspect, I call it. They sit back and they float but Courtney, she's just determined. She just never gives it up. She could be that tired, but she'll keep driving herself. Okay. She's got that desire to succeed. But the other girls are a bit more relaxed, I call it.
Well, they just play sport.
That's right. No, there's nothing wrong with that. She's just got it in her system. No, I was like that too, you know. She's got a bit of my blood in her, that one. Yeah,
unfortunately, we can't all be like you, Rocket.
No, I don't want to be.
Yeah, I was just thinking back to the footy rules. Agreed on that standing the mark one.
Yeah, yeah.
They really do struggle with out of bound, deliberate out of bounds.
Yeah, that though, one they, messes me up a bit a few times.
That does my
especially head. It does my head. But they do it here a bit too now. They've changed the ruling here a bit for us, like a little bit in the B grade and Colts as well, like that for kick out and, you know, so they can keep it flowing, I think, as well.
Yeah,
and
so I think, like last touch.
Yeah, last touch, sorry, yeah. Yep. But they don't do it in the A grade here. But it is still last touch here if it's really, you know, like, so we can keep the game moving. I think that's not a bad idea, but you're right, some of the decisions in the AFL are pretty out of
the interpretation pretty, right. Yeah,
they do at times.
You've already answered one question, that is that you always wanted to be a farmer.
Yep.
Just confirm that. Yep.
No, yeah.
No, oh, nothing yeah, no. ever really.
It's going to be hard for me to give it up. Well, if Brenton decides we're not going to push on next year and that, well, it's going to be hard to. I mean, I think I'll find plenty to do because there's plenty of work around and all that. And I mean, I'd love to get involved in footy at some level, or, you know, or even like the coach can, but maybe not here, you know, maybe go somewhere else if I've got a bit more time, you know, like Murray Bridge League or Riverland League, you know, where it's just somewhere different. It's not the home base side, I call it, where you're walking down the street because you can't, if you're yelling them on a Saturday and then you've got to front them on a on a Wednesday night walking down the in the main street and they don't want to talk to you. Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult coaching country footy, I find. Yeah, it's hard to be honest and hard, I call it. You could never be because you think, well, and then he's not going to talk to me or wave to me when you're seeing this. Yeah. You know, it's a difficult, I don't know.
It's difficult to disappoint people and in sport, it's full of disappointments.
Absolutely.
Not everybody can play.
And that's right. And that's right. Dropping people for grand finals and then you've got to see them the next week and, you know, in the local, you know, landmark
or you walk into the pub at 10 o'clock at night and he's been there since 6 o'clock.
And he wants to just smack you in the nose. Yeah. And that's the difficult part about coaching from, you know, being a local bloke and coaching the local team. It's hard. Mm. It's a hard.
Yeah.
Rodney, who was the, you've stood God, Gary Ablett, but who was the best player you ever stood in AFL football?
I never stood Gary Ablett.
You would have watched on in awe.
Oh, absolutely. He was in the same team. Benny Hart used to get him, or Nigel used to get him a lot. I used to get Stoneham and Brownless, more that two type. Yeah. And then they were too good. I mean, I stood Stuart Lowe, was hard work. I got Wayne Carey as a young bloke, so I didn't really have the, you know, I seemed to be all right with him, but 2 years later I would hate to have stood him.
Yeah.
I played football with Wayne Carey. He was in the senior Colts and I was in the Marla B grade.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure he often talks about how good I was. But
yeah.
Have you ever heard?
Probably not.
No, shaking his head. No.
I mean, Wayne, I stood him a couple of times in that 94-95 period and he was only a young fella then and he was only learning his trade. But, geez, by 97-98, he was a world beater. And, I mean, look at him. I mean, he's rated one of the greatest. So, I got him at good times, probably, I'd say. But and Dermy, I got to stand Dermy, so I mean, I can tell you a story about that.
He would have been a gentleman.
Oh, he was till about the 24 minute mark of the last quarter. I thought I got out unscathed because not many players stand him and get out unscathed. And I thought, I looked up at the time clock this day at Waverley and I've gone, I reckon I've got out of this. Right, he's not going to be within a minute though. I got one beyond the ear and it's an elbow and it's made me bleed. And I've gone, oh, and I turned up and he looked like he said, you weren't going to get away with it all day, type thing. You know, that's what he said. You know, you weren't going to get home free, type thing. So he was. I thought I got away. I thought, oh God, I've got out of it unscathed. I played pretty well, but he was always. He didn't matter what time of the day. You could never turn it on. But I thought I got out of it. Yeah, and I said about the 27 minute mark. I looked up and I go, oh, he's not going to get me
safe.
Safe at all. No. Got me the old cauliflower ear, right, I tell you.
Freaking peanut.
So, no,
Craig Kelly?
Sorry?
So, Craig Kelly, did you play at football with Craig Kelly?
I did. I played at PAC with Craig when he was a younger bloke. He went to Prince Alfred as well, and then he went to Norwood, and I played with him there, and then he went on to Collingwood, and then I ended up playing against him when he was at Collingwood. So, yeah. But he was a tough hard, but he was, he'd love the niggle players too.
Yeah,
he was good at pinching, and but I never got to stand him. So, but, yeah, he went to Collingwood, and he was, he's done pretty well with himself, managing footballers. And he's got a good career now.
Yep.
Nice guy though. Got on well with him at school and all that, Princess and that. he was playing centre. He was our centre half back in our first 18 side. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What was the story, Rodney, about Craig Kelly and Victoria Park or after a grand final they won?
I don't know. I've never heard that one. I mean, I know we played at Victoria Park, Andrew, one year, and they were telling us, like, you've just got to get off the ground as quickly as you can. That was when the crowds were allowed on the grounds in those days. And they said when we played at Victoria Park, because you know what the Collingwood supporters are like, toothless and love to spit on you and run into you.
It's a bit like Port Power supporters.
Yeah, exactly right. And I played at Albion a few times too, Andrew. I remember a few old girls leaning over the fence and me old umbrella jab too, don't worry. Or spitting on you, one of the things. Yeah. I mean, or taking their teeth out and bloody throwing them at you.
Can't believe any of that to be true, Rocket. I'm sure that you've twisted those stories around a little bit. And scones is probably what they were offering you.
Oh, not really.
No.
Yeah, no. No, that day at Victoria Park, I mean, they just told us we had to get off because it was for your own. Like, you're on the, go for it if you, So we got to late in the game and I kept on looking at the clock and waiting for the siren to go so you could build off. And then bloody Craig Kelly, he stopped me and wanted to talk because we're mates and all that.
Oh, yeah, history.
And
yep.
I said, well, can you escort me off the ground now? Because there's more than 3,000 people on the ground. I said, can you escort me off? And he did. Because it was all the rest of the guys, just as soon as the siren went, everyone was just whoom, whoom, gone. Because, as I said, because the crowds those days were allowed on the ground.
Yeah.
So the other crowds were right. It was just them.
Just Collingwood.
Absolutely. They were.
Whew. Be fearful of your life. You'd pop a knife in the guts.
Absolutely.
And then you've got to worry that when you get out to your car park, your actual car's still there as well.
That's right. Lucky we had the bus in those days.
Well,
so we were,
they could still steal wheels off of buses.
They can. That's right.
Yeah. Well, who was an opponent of yours that you knew you were always going to have a tough day? Not necessarily, somebody like Dermot who's going to give you violence, but somebody who's a challenging, just a really skillful running player like yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Chris Grant was probably up there from Footscray in those days. Like, we'd always have a big duel. He wasn't quite as big as the others, but he loved to run all day. But I used to love it because he used to take me to the footy all the time.
Yeah,
I love being around the footy because that meant I could get it too.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So he was. We'd always work hard. I mean, sometimes he'd kick three or four on me, but I mean, I'd always have a reasonable day as well. But because you knew he wanted to go to the footy, and that's how I loved it. I used to hate standing backmen that wanted to run away from it or stay out of it or just take that big mark or every and then. But he was at every, he'd push to the forward lines and he'd push up the centre forward, but that was you knew you worked hard on when you stood him. He was a good player. I rated him very hard.
So you'd like to stand someone like Tex, really, then, wouldn't you?
You'd probably do.
He used to cover the ground pretty well, though.
Yeah,
he's getting on a little bit now.
Yeah, but, I used to love standing blokes that used to take you to the footy a lot more and be in the game a lot more. Blokes, and when I played in the SNFL late in the years, used to take you away from the footy because you're always, because you're getting so much of it all the time and you're creating, so they'd take you away or take you deep and you'd hate it back there.
Yeah.
You just wanted to be in the game. That's where I wanted to be all the time. So. But no, it was Stuart Lowe and all that. I stood Lockett too, as you know, and he kicked 10. I thought I had a reasonable night, but you look at the score when he's kicked 10 goals. I thought I did all right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I did because he might have kicked 20.
Yeah. Is that the most you've had kicked on you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've had it. I mean, I didn't get a lot of big bags kicked on me. I mean, I was pretty all right, I think. But I mean, that was a big. But they just they were too scared not to kick it to him because he was such a strong,
Talk about leaders and demanding footballers.
Absolutely. Well, he was the one. If they didn't kick it to him, he'd be looking down there, very crudely. They'd kick it 15 metres to kick to him sometimes just so because he wanted it. So, he was hard. But, I mean, he's just a big man too, just monster of a bloke.
Was he typically angry or was he pretty well?
Yeah. You've probably heard the story where I've hung onto his jumper that first time we played him at Roebuck.
I read it, but for those that haven't.
I just hung onto it that once because you just wanted that leverage to hold his jumper and get up above the contest, so you could punch it away. And I won that one. I thought, walked away and went, whew, that's one out of the way. I got that one away. And he just came up, if you touch my jumper or even touch me again, you're going to end up like Danny Hughes, who just went off about half an hour before on the stretcher. He said, well, that's where you're going to be too, mate. They'll be bringing it back out for you if you're going to hang on to my jumper. And so I played off him from about 5 metres the rest of the game, tried to steal spoil and get over the top of him and then bounce away quick and run away for another 20 metres.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, but he never said much. That was the only thing he ever said to me. None of them talk much, though.
I think I read a quote once that Ben Hart lined up on Plugger one day and the reporter asked, did you have any conversations with Plugger? And the reply was, Plugger said, looks like we're in for a bit of rain.
Oh.
And that was it. That was all that Plugger said. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I never got too many that said too much, I tell you. Not even here at Lamoureux. You play Pinaroo, the old diehard Pinaroos. It was always Pinaroo, you know, Lamoureux hatred. It was always that little. But I'd go down there and, you know, being country then and, you know, coming home. And, God, good weather. You know, I mean, but like, had a bit of rain this week, have you? And, you know, I'd just get there. Huh.
Yeah.
They didn't want to talk to me either. Yeah. I was there going, oh, God, I've relaxed. I mean, I'm in a relaxed playing country footy. You can have a bit of fun. And, God, how many meals did you get? I'd only get there. I think they hated standing me too, I think, probably.
Lighten up, Pinaroo.
I had a few grumpy ones.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
You want to finish up on some farming?
Yeah, I guess we could get back into it a little bit on farming. We seem to get time.
go to the football.
Yeah. Keep going back to the world.
No, it's some excellent stories there. What's the funniest thing you've actually seen happen on your farm to another farmer next door?
Oh, I haven't seen a lot. I was thinking of that. I said to Cheryl last night when we looked through the questions, I said, we haven't had a... I've seen Dad do a few... I've probably done a three few, but Dad unloaded the truck, you know, at the silo where this was harvest time when he was still in... we were reaping and I was on the chaser bin and I sent Dad home in the truck to unload it for seed and all that. We come belting out in the paddock again with the... hoist still up high, and I mean, there's power lines and all that everywhere there, and I'm just grimacing. Although I'm trying to call him up on the dad, he came racing out thinking it was down. I think, and I mean, it was bound. I don't know how it still works. Really, we still got the old truck. And he got out there, and I said, "Did you look up there? Is that still up, is it?" And I'm going,
How far had he driven?
It would have been, probably a kilometre at least.
Okay.
That was one of the funny things. But, there was a few others. Or driving into the shed with your forks up and hit the top of the shed or...
Yep.
But I don't seem to... I can't remember having too many farm accidents. I've had a few, I must say, I've had a few, like driven through a fence in my ute and all that. Looked down and I was looking for something on the floor of the ute and it turned off. I was coming on the fence, straight through the fence and did a bit of damage to the ute then. But not much damage, but little things like that. That wasn't looking on my phone. It was just looking, just getting something off the floor and I must have just turned the wheel well.
Just enough.
Just clipped straight over the droppers over the end of the next paddock, flattened the fence and just scratched all my ute. But now you have a few accidents like that. But
yeah.
And wrecking Mum's garden in football too. Like your Mum used to be out, Brett and I used to play one-on-one in the backyard. And we'd wreck all the... Poor old Mum's garden used to get beaten.
Mum couldn't have nice things because she had two boys who just loved footy way too much.
That was about the only funny, but that was probably the one I could think of. I said to Cheryl last night, but there's probably other ones, but I just can't. We didn't have too many funny things. We do laugh a lot, but you know, you have little jokes and that. You slip off the truck and you fall on the ground or something, but you don't hurt yourself and you're clumsy old bugger things like that, or hit your fingers or something like that. That's just part of farming.
It's part of the occupational hazards that we work around. You've bought a piece of equipment that you've been extremely disappointed in. This just has not lived up to expectations at all.
The cultivator we got now gives us the shits because it's just the trash and it just won't take it. It's a Morris Contour, like hydraulic tine, and we've got the splitter boots on it. We should have put just knife points on it, but it's not the best cultivator in the world, but we would have swapped it over if we could have, I reckon. It still works. So don't get me wrong, we love the hydraulic tines in this type of country, you know, with this dry weather too, because they stays in the ground, it doesn't bounce, and it does a great job that way, but it just doesn't handle trash that easy. We have complications with trash, so it's a bit of a lemon, but it's like I said, there's good parts about it, but
not quite so.
How many rows
No, it's only a three row.
Oh, so it's like
a row. That's right. That's what we said. If it was a four row, it was probably a lot different too. Like, yeah.
Yep.
But, yeah, just with the splitter boots, it seems to just pick up the, you know, trash too easy and it's like a shear, I call it, you know, and it's just not like a knife point, maybe. But it would have cost us a lot of money to put a knife point up. But we should have gone and bought something else, we said. But there's probably other things too that we bought, old tractors that never lived up to their standard, or front end loaders that just haven't got the,
yep,
you know, the pickup, you know, picking bars up and things like that. But I mean, yeah, you always get a lemon amongst them and you wish you'd never bought it, but.
You've never had a Polaris?
No.
Polaris is, they're a bit of a joke for this podcast.
we only have blue and red. Well, blue, no more red, because they're all blue now. We've got all New Hollands and all yellow, like header, like New Holland. So we've been red and blue. We've hardly ever had a John Deere. We've always been, you know, bought Ronco motors, which are, you know, your New Hollands and your Case tractors and then your New Holland headers. So we have had a couple of John Deere tractors in my time, but not many though. So it's been mainly blue, red and yellow, yep, really for us. So.
Any jobs on the farm that you detest?
Oh, well, you clean it out underneath the shearing shed,
yeah, right? Yeah. Or underneath the cedar bar as well.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. No. Oh, there's always some jobs you probably don't like, but I mean, that was never. Nah, you always do them because it was work and. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, no, I didn't have any that I didn't like. That was just, cleaning out underneath the shearing shed was always a hard one.
That is a hard job.
Yeah, but it was always.
Well, you won't have to worry about that anymore. You got rid of the sheep.
That's right, I will. That's exactly right. Yeah. So you won't even have to worry about organising any shearers, because that was coming hard work too.
It's only gotten harder since the pandemic.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's hard work. And just getting good shearers too around here, it was hard work. So I'm glad I've got animal. It just become a chore, really, like organising shearing and all that as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yep.
So, holidays,
you've
obviously been on a few. Do you go somewhere every year, or you just go wherever you feel like it? Or?
Well, yeah, Cheryl and I have been travelling Australia a lot more. Not big Australia, but we love the coast and that. And we went over to the West Coast last year, or 2 years ago before the COVID, and we did all the West Coast, Tumby Bay, Port Lincoln, Coffins Bay, Venice Bay, Elliston, to to Streaky, to Juna, to Smoky, and we loved it. Yep. We had the best trip. 2 weeks we went for, and I love my fishing as well. And the cliff faces and the people I met over there. It was just a beautiful place. And we love Port Ferry. That's another one of my favourites. Port Ferry down at Warrnambool down there.
Okay.
I love it. Yep. And last year we started, I'll tell you this story, we started and we went up to Cairns. We love Cairns and Port Douglas too. We go there every 5 years, Cheryl and I, like 5 days at each, spend 10 days there and go both places. We spend a bit of time up there. We love it up there. We love the weather and just the place. We just enjoy that. But we got back and we went off February last year. We went whizzing down to Queenscliff to cross the ferry to go over to Phillip Island. We'd never been along that coast.
Yep.
And we got the Queenscliff and went over there, and beautiful across there, loved it and really enjoyed that, and got to Phillip Island and then went up to Lake Entrance and, you know, those places up that way, and Bairnsdale, I think it is, and then old Victorian Premier decided to shut the whole state down.
Oh, so, no.
Well, he's shut the greatest, you know, the city area, yep, and then we thought, oh, we were right, but then he 2 days later he closed the whole show down, so we had to highball it home. So, we thought we didn't want to get stuck over there, but we love that coast too, but we love travelling Australia, Andrew. I mean, we've been to New Zealand, we've been to Hawaii too, and we loved it there as well. We travel, but we've been, because we've had to stay in Australia the last few years, I suppose, and I love seeing Australia. I mean, I love the coasts. I love going up along the coasts and New South Wales, Victorian coast, or anywhere like West Coast, Air Coast. And I want to go to Western Australia. We want to do Esperance and all that too. Mm-hmm. You know, Bunsbury and, you know, all down along there and do that. But but Port Ferry is one of my favourite spots. So I go back there a bit.
That's near Warrnambool.
It is.
Nice area, isn't it?
A beautiful area, and you can fish there, and it's got a channel coming in there through the town, and it's just a beautiful place. We love going there. We'd go there every 2 or 3 years too, just spend a few days there and that as well.
Yeah.
It's about 5 hours from here, so it's not too bad.
What about, let's go back to footy again, footy trips. Where was the best place you ever went on a footy trip?
Footy trip? Well, we went to London. That was a footy trip with a game included, like with West Coast and all that. We had a ball. I mean, and me being a little Lamoureux larrikin, like, or Lamoureux, and went to London. Do you know how fast and furious London was? Like, and it went 24/7, you know, like it was just going at 2 o'clock in the morning as well as it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. It was just full noise. Oh, yep. We had a great trip. And then Nigel Smart, myself, Rodney Jamison, and Stephen Rowe, we hopped in a car and went out to Oxford and Bath and that, and did a bread and breakfast for a couple of nights. We just hired a car because we just wanted to get out of London. It was busy. And we said, why don't we just go out and hire a car and go out there? And that was magnificent. That was great. We enjoyed that as well. But footy trips, I mean, we didn't go on many with the Crows. That was about the biggest one. They went overseas a lot, but I never went, you know. I'd always come home. That was, I'd always come home and work on the farm, the harvest time and all that. Yeah, so I that's suppose. What I'd do. I'd always have time off. I'd ask Graham if I could have a few, you know, a month or 6 weeks off to come home and help Brett and Dad with the cropping, I mean, the harvesting and all that. The, didn't get to do the seeding, but came home for harvest quite a bit. So, and they'd give me time, long as I kept fit, and which was no problem anyway. So, so I did that, but so footy trip, but we had a lot. I mean, when I came home to Lamoureux, we've been to Mildura, Victor Harbour, Tumby Bay, and even the Lucendale pub, we went down there, Mount Gambier Jail down there. So we've been on a few. I mean, they were good team, you know, great nights, and I still survived, so that was the main thing.
The West Coast is fantastic. The people over there are just awesome.
Great. Magnificent. Yeah. I just enjoy, and there's a lot of travellers too when I was over there, fishing off jetties and that. You just, that's how I love, and Cheryl, my wife tells me, what are you talking about? And I said, it's just me, love. I talk to anyone. She said, it's just rude. And there you go, no, it's not. I said, you don't find out anything if you don't talk about
anything.
Exactly right. So I loved, I could sit there and talk all day, the people, and she looks at me and goes, you're strange. Like,
Rockets.
It's only my daughter.
Accountant.
It's my daughter. I'll give her the shake off.
We're nearly done.
Yeah. No.
We're nearly done, I reckon.
But on the fishing, what's the biggest fish you've ever caught?
I went up to and caught a barramundi up at Darwin. I went my mate Steve Armand, who played with Norwood as well in my era, and he's one of my best mates. Yep, I have a lot to do with him.
Remember his name?
Yep. And they shifted to Darwin for work, and he took me out. His mate, we went up there for 2 weeks, and he took me out, and we went down right around to a channel or whatever, which you can't get out because the tide drops that much there. And so we were stuck in there for the day, and so we were just catching a bit of barramundi, and I caught a big 70-centimetre barramundi. We caught two for the day, but it was a good feed.
I was going to say, is that catch and release, or are we taking them home for dinner?
No, we took one of them home. And ate him that night, did a couple of fillets up and battered them, and his wife was really good at that. But otherwise, my brother's probably into fishing more than me. He goes every month. He loves it. He goes to Kingston, or they go to Port Victoria on the York Peninsula. That's where they fish at Wardang Island and that. He goes there a lot. He does a lot more than I do. Just got into it in the last 5 or 10 years. I went a few other times, but getting into it now a bit more. Now I'm going to get into that retiring. So
I was going to say, you might have a little bit more time. So
that golf I love. So
handicap.
About 11.
Okay.
Yeah. So getting there. Yeah. Going all right. So.
Bit more practice.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know whether I'd like to play golf with you, Rocket. I think you'd probably move around the course a bit too quick for me.
Yeah, they do tell me I go walk pretty too fast. Yeah. Some blokes have got buggies and they say, hop in. I say, I'm walking. I love it. I mean, sure, and I'll go for, we go for walks most nights if I'm not busy. It depends on the time of year and that, but we walk a lot. Yep. Around Lamoureux and that, so
local golf course here.
Yep, 18 greens, fairways. Oh, good course. Very nice. Yep,
good. I better come down and play that one.
You better. Yeah, no, it's a good one. No, it's, we got 18 greens and it's it's a very good golf course. So with footy though, I'm coaching under 16s and I'm umpiring A grade as well. So I don't get a lot of time for golf. I did COVID though because we played golf every week then and that. But now I've kind of gone back and my daughter's playing and I'm involved here a bit with footy. So that makes it hard. But I still get out, if I knock off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll come in and have a hit 9 holes or jump on.
Good stuff. Last question. If you go back in time, would you? And if you did, where would you go and what would you want to see?
Oh,
any historical events or people that you might like to go back and have a chat to? Go back and stab Hitler?
No, not really. I don't think. No, I don't know. No, I can't really think of any. I thought of that the other night, and I couldn't really think of any either. So
no, just live for the day.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Oh, no. The only thing I regret is not catching up with more friends, you know, like football friends and that. That's probably my biggest regret and things I should do more of. But I just been 200 k's away, and they don't come and see me because I think they think it's so far. And you know what Adelaide people are like. They think Lemuru's miles away. Absolutely. Like 6 hours. It's only two. Yeah, yeah. And we do it every, you know, and do it easy.
Twice a week to train and then once again to play.
I'd love them to come out and see me, but I mean, yeah, that's probably a big regret I have. I don't see them often because when we do catch up, it's really good times, you know. Love chatting and we talk about old times, just like old schoolmates, like my PAC. We have our 10-year, 20-year, 30-year reunions, and we're up to, was it 2023? So it'll be 40 years in 2023. So I'm looking forward to that because the old boarders, I mean, we get together and it's great fun. And we have a good night, even though we're getting older and it gets harder to recover and harder to drink more beer, but we give it a fair shot. Yeah,
still give it a crack. Yeah, telling stories from 40 years ago. We're getting up there, aren't we, mate?
I was just winding out where everyone is too. It's so interesting what their families and what they're doing.
What they're doing.
I love it. I love those type of, and you shouldn't go to funerals to find out those things.
No, and unfortunately, and that's often it happens. Too much of that, don't we?
We do. So,
all guilty. That's for sure.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh no worries. Well, thank you very much. I hope it's been all right. It's been, yeah.
Oh wow.
So I couldn't be there, and thank you very much to Heatley Barbecues and Elders Rural Services, our sponsors.
Yes,
and thanks for giving up so much time on what is a busy time of the year. For rain, it'd be even busier.
Yeah, absolutely. We've nearly got ours done. I don't know about you, but we've nearly got ours done. So. Yeah.
Yeah, we're about 2/3 of the way through.
But, we've only got two paddocks to go, but they're a bit light and a bit finical, so we're just going to wait and see what happens with them. So, but that two paddocks is only a day and a half for us anyway, 100 hectares. We do 120 a day. Oh, she's persistent. I've got a daughter here, persistent.
Sounds like you're in a
better wind it up. Yeah. We'll let you go, Rodney. Thanks very much for your time this afternoon.
No worries.
Thanks,
see you, Lars. Thank you.
See ya. Yeah.